In what you hear, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Just take a moment, lift your hands and worship him. Oh, we bless him. He's already here, but let's welcome his presence amongst us. Let's just begin to thank him. Tell him you love him. Say, Jesus, I love you. Tell him you love him. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now grab your Bibles. Hold them up in the air. Say this with me. Grab your Bibles. I know that if one thing I know since I've been here, this is definitely a Bible teaching church. I'm telling you, I have seen some word go forth in this place. So grab your Bibles, hold them up in the air. The Bible says that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. So we're going to wave it in his face. Say this with me. Say, this is my Bible. My Bible is the word of God. And God's word is devil destruction power. With my Bible, I can defeat the devil every single day. This is my Bible. My Bible is the word of God. And God's word is the revelation of his will for my life. Whatever it says I am, that's what I am. Whatever it says I can do, I can do it. Whatever it says I have, I claim it in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Father, help us to be doers of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to say it is an honor for me to be here at Lokasha Church of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I am so blessed and to be a part of this wonderful. And when I say this, I'm not exaggerating because I preached at a lot of churches. And I know there are churches that are difficult to preach at. And there's some churches that are easy to preach at. And I'm finding out today, I was just rejoicing. I said, it's going to be easy to preach here. Man, because y'all pastor, he gives y'all the word. See, I can tell when a pastor is feeding his people because his people act like preachers. Praise God.
Amen.
And I mean, the way y'all, the Sunday school, you know, when Pastor Coleman was bringing forth the word of God and how some of y'all were just adding in there and putting your little bits in there. I'm like, man, these people are powerful. Glory to God. I told Bishop, I said, man, you got some people of faith here, boy. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, I thank God for Bishop Kenna and for Lady Cleon. They're such a blessing in my life. I'm so happy to have the friendship that I have with them. Your pastor came to our church about a month ago, I think it was, and he blessed our socks off. Well, I wanted to keep them. If I was selfish, I would have kept them another 3 weeks, or maybe four. But I know y'all need them, but you know I need them a little bit, so y'all don't mind if I borrow them every once in a while, do you?
No.
All right, praise God. Amen. Because I'm telling you, he blessed us really good. And I'm looking forward to the revival we're going to have, but I'm probably going to have him come before the revival, if y'all don't mind. Don't be taking our pastor from us, Pastor. Amen. But you got such a gift. You have such a blessing. And I'm telling you, you are already blessed, but you're going to get blessed even more.
Amen.
Amen. You ain't going to see, I'm telling you, the way things are going here, the way the word of God is going, you ain't going to see no empty seats here. Amen. Y'all almost full now, but praise God. You're going to get to the place where somebody's going to come in and say, I need a seat. Hallelujah. See, I like them kind of problems. Two kind of problems I don't mind having. Not enough parking spaces and not enough seats. Glory to God. Amen. Those are good problems to have. Hallelujah. Well, let's get into the word of God. Turn once again to Psalm 138, verse 2. On the program, you know, your pastor called me yesterday around 5:45 when I had the phone upstairs and I was downstairs in my basement office away from my phone, and I missed his message, so I didn't even get back upstairs till around 12 midnight. And that's when I got his message about giving y'all the theme and the scripture. And so, you know, sometimes when you text and stuff, you text real fast. And so I probably didn't put the right thing, the theme down. The theme, although it does relate to redemption, we're going to be talking about God's reputation.
Amen.
God's reputation. See, amen. This is a faith-based church, man. So I'm telling you, this is going to be, I'm a word of faith man, praise amen. God. Amen. You know, I got my back, a lot of my young Christian background is under the schools of Frederick K.C. Price, Kenneth Hagin, and those type of guys. You know, that's just where I'm at, praise God.
Amen.
I mean, it's worked for me.
Yes.
Faith in God's word and in God has worked for me. The word of confession has worked for me, praise God. And it's sad that there's a lot of churches that are against that type of teaching. They don't believe that God, some of them believe that God will heal if it's his will.
Right.
In other words, they're saying that sometimes it's his will to heal, sometimes it ain't. You know, these type of things. And so that's why I want to talk about God's reputation, because God has been given a bad reputation out there. And sadly, he's been given it from the church. But turn to Psalm 138. See, I'm primarily a teacher by gifting of God. Hallelujah. And you know, a lot of churches can't receive that because they, you know, everybody wants their blessing right now. How many of y'all are on Facebook? How many of y'all play around on Facebook like sometimes? You ever see the memes that come out there, you know, type it? God's ready to bless you right now. Type amen.
Amen.
Me either. I'm tired of them. God's about to give you finances, healing, health, blah, blah, blah. If you type amen, pass it by and you don't get nothing.
That's it.
That's nothing but witchcraft.
Yes.
See, if you really want God's blessings, you got to know God, and you got to know God's word. Glory to God.
Yes.
See, God wants to bless you abundantly, but everybody wants to take the shortcut.
Yes.
They want magic.
Yes.
They don't want a personal relationship with God.
Right.
They want to have principles and things of that nature, and just have automatic stuff happen without any kind of relationship or any kind of covenant with God. Now, I'm going to tell you, I believe in God's blessings. You know, as Pastor Coleman was talking about in the Sunday school earlier today, I mean, I believe in God giving me financial blessings because he has done it. I believe in healing and health because I don't like being sick. I don't know about you, but I do not like it. Amen. Some people like being sick because they get attention.
Yes.
I don't care if you don't give me no attention. I don't want to suffer. Glory to God. Amen. The few times I've been sick, it was not fun. Praise God. Thank God for a loving wife, but I tell you, I'd rather just be healthy. Hallelujah. And God wants to bless you in your health, in your body. He wants to do all these things. But we got to get to know God.
Amen.
Not to get to know principles alone. Praise God. The universe does run by principles, but God is not a principle. He is a person. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And the principles will only work if you get to know the person behind the principles. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the thing is that God has been given such a bad reputation, it has destroyed people's faith in God. Huh? So Psalm 138, if you found it, I want to focus primarily on verse 2. It says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name. If you're taking notes, or if you got a pen, won't you just underline that word name in your Bible? Praise God. I will praise thy name. Why? For thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name.
Amen.
See, that word name, some of y'all may already know this, but that word name is not talking about just somebody naming their child. You know, most of y'all from Africa, from Liberia, so y'all kind of know certain things more than most of us Americans. See, Americans, you know, when we have children, we just name our kids. We just come look in a book or something. We just find a name for the kids, you know. Zimbuba, something like that. I mean, we don't even find out what the thing means. You know, it wasn't until I met my wife. She's Japanese. Her name is Takako. And she was able to tell me right away what her name means, which means never leave her parents. You know, so my mother named me Troy. And it wasn't until maybe 50 years later that I actually found out what the name Troy means. Glory to God. I never knew what that name meant because nobody, and most people in America, we don't concern ourselves with that. And I didn't concern myself that with my when I named my kids. And if I had known what I know now, my kids would have different names, praise God. Amen. Because when I named them, I didn't know what in the world I was prophesying over them. But see, a name, when it's talking about name here, it's not talking about just somebody slapping a label on somebody. It is talking about a person's characteristic, a person's reputation, praise God. I can give you a whole bunch of, right here I got a whole bunch of scholarly type stuff that I could recite to you and make y'all think I'm smart and everything. But I think if I just explain it to you, you'll get it, praise God. If you need the scholarship, I'll give you the copy of the notes later. But the name means reputation. It means fame. It means characteristics, praise God. Have you ever heard the phrase where somebody, you know, they want to go to Hollywood or they want to become a music star or something like that, and they say, I'm going to go make a name for myself?
Yes.
Praise God. That doesn't mean that they don't already have a name. What they're trying to say is that I am going to build a reputation for myself, praise God. Well, see, people don't understand God's reputation. They have given him a bad reputation or a bad name, and they made God to look bad. And we see here in Psalm 138 verse 2, it says that he will worship toward his holy temple and praise his name. Why? For his loving kindness, glory to God, and for his truth, praise God. See, God's name is connected to loving kindness, hallelujah. Are you taking pictures? Wait a minute, I gotta pose. Hey, you gonna take pictures of me? I gotta look good. You know, you can't be throwing me up on social media and I'm looking all messed up. Yeah, I gotta get the right one. But God's reputation is connected to loving kindness. It's connected to truth. The only thing God places above his reputation is his word, because his word explains his reputation, glory to God.
Amen.
Now, some of the things I hear in many, you know, your pastor and I, we get to go to different services and stuff, and we listen to different preachers, and you know, we hear a lot of things, praise God.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you got to try to keep a stone face so that you don't, you know, because sometimes I just want to blurt out, man, what are you preaching? What kind of foolishness? That ain't enough. Show me that in the scripture. But, you know, some people go around saying certain things like, God is mysterious. In other words, he's unknowable. Or God is difficult and arbitrary. You know, you just never know what God is going to do. I know what God's going to do. He's going to do exactly what he said in his word, praise God. There's not a whole lot of mystery. The way people make it sound like, you know, that's not to say that you can know everything about God in his lifetime. That's not what I'm saying. But God is not the mystery that people make him out to be. Matter of fact, see, this is what people say when they connect God to mystery. Your child gets killed by a drunk driver. Well, God's ways are mysterious. In other words, God is supposedly the one who killed your child. He got somebody drunk, made them sin, killed your child, and then you say that God is mysterious. We don't know what his plans and purposes were for taking that little child. But see, that's not God. That's not the God I serve.
No.
And then some people depict God's reputation as always vindictive. Always angry, always mad. That's not the God I serve, praise God. Amen. Now, my God has emotions, yeah, he gets angry, but see, he's not like us. See, we have a selfish anger. You offended me. You hurt my feelings. That's why I'm mad. God, he gets angry because you are messing yourself up, praise God.
Amen.
And you're messing somebody else up too. It's just like when you get angry with your child, not because they hurt your feelings, but because you see that they're hurting themselves, praise God.
Amen.
And so you try to stop them, and so you have to show a little bit of anger. That's the kind of anger God has, hallelujah.
Amen.
But, you know, some people make God out to be the sender of trials, and he's the one who just puts you through all kinds of sickness and tragedy and destruction. Or God is the one who withholds answers to prayer. Well, maybe God didn't want me to have that for a reason. Even though he may have promised it in his word, but he didn't want you to have it for a reason. See, people didn't read Daniel chapter 10 where it was the devil that was trying to stop the answer to Daniel's prayer. Glory to God.
Amen.
Some people make God out to be stingy. He just, you know, God just doesn't seem to ever want to give you anything. He just wants you to be poor. He just wants you to hang on tight till he comes. Then he'll give you all the blessings in the sweet by and by. I want some of the blessings in the sweet now, glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm on earth where I need to live. Glory. God wants me to preach this gospel, so I need to have some money in my pocket. Oh, glory to God. Now, my God, the reputation I understand about my God, he is a healer. He's a protector. He's a lover. He's kind. He's merciful. And he's very, very generous, praise God.
Amen.
You see, but you got to understand the reason why God has been given his reputation is because he has an enemy. He has an enemy named Satan, and Satan is the one who's going around trying to destroy God's reputation, because if he destroys God's reputation, then he destroys you.
Yes.
You see, because your knowledge of God's reputation is the determining factor of how much faith you have in him and how much you will accomplish for him, praise God.
Amen.
See, if you don't have the right information about God, you will believe the wrong thing about him. Say that with me. Say, without the right information,
without the right information
about God,
you will believe
the wrong thing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if you don't have the right information about God, you will believe the wrong thing. That's why in Psalm 138, David says that he exalts his word above his name. You see, because the word of God is what gives you the revelation and understanding of God. God has given you 66 books called a Bible. And I mean, it's full of information about God. And if you don't understand what one passage says about God, then another passage explains it, praise God.
Amen.
There's no reason for the child of God, especially a spirit-filled, tongue-talking child of God, not to understand this book. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I mean, God places teachers and preachers in the body of Christ for one thing. He's given you a pastor that I can see from listening to y'all that has filled y'all with the word of God. So there's no reason, especially for LaCosta Church of God, not to understand the word of God. Praise
Amen.
Jesus. But there's really no reason for any child of God not to understand this word and not to understand the truth about God. The reason why a lot of people believe the wrong thing about God is not because they study the word, it's because they listen to preachers and teachers who say the wrong things about God, and they think that that's the word of God.
Amen.
See, what you got to do is learn God's word for yourself.
Amen.
You know this book for yourself. As a matter of fact, you will enjoy your pastor's teaching more if you study this book for yourself more. Praise God.
Amen.
I tell our people, if you're bored listening to me, it's because you don't study.
Yes.
And see, when I'm trying to teach you something, you don't understand anything because you're not reading the book on your own. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, the reason why I love listening to teachers is because I read this book, and sometimes I don't understand it, and so I listen to them, and they'll explain a passage that I've already read, and I sit there, wow, so that's what that means, praise God.
Amen.
But see, a lot of people listen to other preachers who are telling them that God put sickness on you, God put disease on you, God made you have that car accident, God took your mama, God took your daddy. A lot of people listen to those type of things. And that's why God has such a bad reputation. And many people will fight you to the death to defend their bad ideas about God. I'm telling you.
Amen.
But see, Satan is the one who's trying to distract you because, number one, he hates God.
Right.
He hates God with a passion. Oh, how he hates God. And because you have been made in God's image, he hates you.
Right.
Have you ever, I don't know about you, I don't know if I should tell this story, but my wife ain't here, so maybe I'll get away with it. she has to take care of the church while I'm away. But I remember when my wife and I, we were going out, we were sinners. I was a sinner. Praise God. I needed Jesus. I needed redemption. So y'all understand that I wasn't always saved. Amen. You know, I know I was telling some of my stories to a preacher one time. He said, "What? You? I thought you were an altar boy all your life." But I remember I had a girlfriend besides my wife. She wasn't my wife at the time, but I had another girlfriend in the United States. And then my wife found out about her, and so she wrote her a letter. And then sent her a picture of me and her. I didn't even know anything about it. Sent her a picture of me and her together. And so the girl wrote me a letter with the picture torn in 1,000 pieces. See, she couldn't get to me, praise God. She couldn't do anything to me. So the only thing she could do was destroy my image, praise Jesus. And so Satan can't do anything to God physically. God is almighty. God is like, compared to me to a roach is what Satan is to God. God can stomp on him and smush him out. However, God's not like that. God, you notice that God gives man and angels and devils a lot of freedom. Praise God. That's another message in itself, why he does that. But if you understood that, you would understand why we have so much evil in the world. Why, you know, a lot of people ask, well, how come God hasn't done anything about it yet? Well, because if he did something about it, he'd have to destroy all of us. Praise God. His desire is to redeem us, not to destroy us.
Amen.
That's the short answer. I mean, there's a long answer that I can't. Maybe your pastor, let me come back one day and I'll be able to teach on all that. Praise God. But at the moment, we need to understand that Satan has freedom to even talk bad about God right now.
Right.
And he started doing that in the garden. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. See, Satan is behind all the negative stuff that's being said about God.
Amen.
And one of the commissions that God has given me for the past several years is to really deal with the subject of his character, the truth about his character, the truth about his reputation. In Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Now, first of all, the first thing the serpent did was ask a question to put doubt in Eve's mind. Hallelujah. But then he goes on, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." He says, now listen to this. This part is important. He said, "For God know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Now, we might try to want to dig into this and try to figure out, well, what is God? What does the serpent mean by all that? But here's the basic understanding. Satan was basically saying that God is not generous. He's stingy. He doesn't want you coming up to his level. He's trying to keep you down. He don't want you to have anything. Satan was destroying God's reputation in front of Eve, praise God. He was questioning God's character and causing Eve to question God's character. Now, won't you give it some thought? One tree. God told Adam one single tree. He said, of every tree in the garden, thou mayest freely eat. Praise God.
Amen.
He didn't even exclude Adam from the tree of life. There was two trees, two specific trees mentioned in the Bible. The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God never told Adam, don't touch that tree of life. He simply said to stay away from one single stinking little tree. One tree. And then every other tree. Boy, have your fill. Eat to your heart's desire. One tree. And yet Satan is able to entice them with that one little tree. Now think about, ladies, think about this for a minute. God tells you, I'm going to send you a husband. But you can't wait. So the first thing that comes along, he's fine. I mean, he ain't like me. He got his abs. I used to have some abs. Many years ago. I mean, but boy, the brother is on, okay? And so that's all you looking at, how fine he is. You marry him, and then he treats you like dirt. And then he loses them abs, and he gets that six pack from drinking that six pack. And then you wish, you said you should have. I should have waited on God's man. I've seen this happen so many times. I've been pastoring a long time. You know, you get young ladies in the church. Some brother comes in and comes to the altar and gets saved. And then the first thing he's doing, he's scoping out some of the women. And some of them women just fall for it. I know. I've seen them where the guy will come in, get saved, take the woman, and get her on drugs. I've seen it happen. See, we need to wait on God. See, many of y'all, the reason why that happens is because you don't understand God's reputation. You think that God is holding back from you. You think that God wants you to be a virgin all your life. You think that God wants you to be single and send you to Zimbabwe to be a missionary. Listen.
Come on now. That's it.
Listen, if you don't have the desire, you're not going to do anything. God's not going to make you do something that he hasn't put the desire in you to do. Amen. And so you need to wait on God. You need to remember that God is kind. He's generous. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows what you're going through. He knows that some of y'all have sexual desires. Praise God. But let me tell you something. Getting married ain't going to satisfy them.
No.
Yeah, you're going to have one night, two nights, and then somebody else is going to look even better than your husband or wife. You need to deal with that lust issue right now before you get married. Praise God. You got to deal with it before you marry. Because if you don't deal with it before you marry, it's just going to be just like buying that new car. You done got that new car, then you see somebody with something better. And then you want that one. And then you're sitting there saying, I wish I hadn't gotten that one. But now I got six more years of payments on it. The same thing with a woman or a man. You know, everybody's looking at somebody for... I don't even know why I got on this one. I wasn't even my plan on that. But everybody's looking at somebody with some assets that they think that they wish their husband or wife had. Believe God for the husband or wife that God wants you to have. Amen. God knows what he's doing. God has, if you understand God, you understand how good he is, you understand that he's looking out for your good and not trying to hurt you, then you will wait on him. And that was the problem with Eve. She did not understand God. She didn't understand him. And so Satan was able to so easily sway her and deceive her. Now you look, go down to verse 9. Jump down to verse 9. I want you to see something here. It says, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. And I was, listen to this, I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. All these other times, Adam and God hanging out together in the cool of the day, chilling out with each other. Adam wasn't even the least little bit scared of God. Wasn't the least little bit scared. And now all of a sudden, he's scared. You see what sin does to you? Mm-hmm. You see what the damage to God's reputation does to us? Mm-hmm. See, when we don't understand God truly, then we become afraid of him, praise yes. God. Amen. Now, don't misunderstand me. We are to fear God, but we are not to be afraid of God.
Amen.
When I mean fear God, I mean reverence him. I mean respect him. Yes. I mean you are to talk to him with respect. Praise God.
Amen.
You don't go into the throne room like some people do nowadays. I mean, some of these charismatic Christians are getting a little too casual for me.
Yes.
Yo, God, what up? No. First of all, at my age, you don't talk to me that way.
Right.
Praise God. So you definitely ain't going to talk to God that way. Anybody ever come into church and say, yo, there was a time when you know, when I was younger, I didn't mind you calling me Troy and all that stuff. But now, you know, I'm 52. I earned my respect. Praise God. I done lived long enough.
And
you come into the church and say, yo, what up, Troy? I'm going to tell you, you need to go right back out and come right back in again. I am a pastor. You will address me properly. Praise God.
Amen.
I don't disrespect you. You don't disrespect me. Well, you certainly don't disrespect God. Hallelujah. So you are a fear and reverence God. But you don't need to be afraid of him. Hallelujah. See, the Bible tells us in 1 John, it says that fear has torment. If you are afraid, then you have not yet been made perfect in love. Because perfect love casts out fear.
Amen.
And see, that's what happened to Adam. He lost his love for God. He backslid. When you start getting scared of God, you need to consider yourself backslidden, praise God.
Amen.
See, I love going up before God. I was with God a couple hours this morning, hallelujah.
Amen.
Enjoyed my fellowship with him. Praise God. And see, you don't have to be afraid of God. But see, the way if you listen to the way God's reputation has been made in most of the church nowadays, you will be scared of him.
Amen.
Because you don't know when he's going to drop an airplane on your house. Well, I'm serious. I got a book at home by a famous preacher who's on television. I ain't going to mention the man's name. But he said that those Muslims that ran their airplanes into the building on 9/11, God was in control of that. He had things to do with that. There was a plan and a purpose behind that, and so God was all behind it. And I don't understand that, but that would make me very afraid of that kind of God. That sounds more like the God of Allah than it does the God of my Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God.
Amen.
Jesus said, he told his disciples, when his disciples wanted to, when they got upset, you know, Jesus trying to walk through a Samaritan village. And they didn't let him through because he had his eyes set towards Jerusalem. And so James and John, you know, Jesus called them the sons of thunder. I found out why. They said, hey, Jesus, look at how they treated you, man. You want us to call down fire upon him like Elijah did?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, you don't even know what manner of spirit you are of.
Amen.
He said, I did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them, praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Our God's reputation has been shattered because people think that God has come to destroy men instead of saving them. Jesus said that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved
yes.
through him. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
So God his reputation has been shattered by the lies of the devil. Listen to this. Let me share this story with you. I found this one time from an internet forum I used to be a part of. This man says, I am down to my last $1,000. I have been working 45 to 50 hours a week trying to sell insurance. I have a wife and 3 kids to support. Every effort I make to improve our condition, God frustrates. I say he does it because he is sovereign. I have fought against despair for weeks as my bank account has dwindled. Objective truth about God proclaiming his goodness makes me sick to my stomach. I am ashamed of that. Isn't that sad? That's the kind of reputation that God has in many circles. And see, for a church like Lakasha, y'all got to keep proclaiming the truth that you've been proclaiming, praise God.
Amen.
That's what, you know, that's where, why you're already drawing so many people in, and that's where you're going to continue to draw so many people in here, because people are, they're not attracted to that kind of thing. Only a masochist is attracted to that, praise God.
Amen.
Only somebody that likes to get beaten down is attracted to that. Man, I'd be scared to spend eternity with that kind of God. I don't know when he's going to turn on me. I'm telling you. I don't know when he's going to come up and say, you know, son, you know, you've been in heaven for 1,000 years, but I'm coming out to like you. I'm going to throw you in hell. I don't want that. Praise God.
Amen.
I want to spend eternity with somebody I know loves me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And will never stop loving me.
Yes.
But see, this poor man has been taught a lie. He's been taught that his lack of success is God's doing. That God is the one frustrating him from getting his finances straight. See, he don't believe what the promises of God says. I'm gonna show you a couple of promises, and then we're gonna close out. Praise God.
Amen.
You learning anything?
Yes.
Glory to God. See, I want you to understand that if you're going to walk in faith, you need to understand God's reputation.
Amen.
You need to understand his name. See, God's name is Healer, praise God.
Amen.
He says, I am Jehovah Rapha. He doesn't say, he never says, I am the Lord that maketh thee sick. He says, I am the Lord that healeth thee, praise God.
Yes.
Now, see, that passage, I just gave your pastor a book that explains a little bit more about that passage in Exodus 15:26. And sometimes people focus on that part that says that he will never put the diseases upon you that he puts upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. But if you and I'm gonna give you a very quick basic lesson on that. In the Old Testament, there is what is called a permissive idiom. Most scholars have discovered that, and in some of my books I've explained that permissive idiom, in which God is said to do that which he only allowed or permitted. Praise God.
Amen.
For example, somewhere there's places in the Bible that says that God deceived prophets. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
There's places in the Bible where it says that God tempted David to sin. Praise God.
Amen.
But yet you read in the New Testament that God he's not a liar, he doesn't deceive. And you read in the New Testament where God does not tempt any man. Praise God.
Amen.
See, it's the same thing with sickness. In the Old Testament, a lot of times God took credit for sickness because it was a permissive idea. But most scholars would tell you that the Hebrews never understood it the way we would understand it today. Praise God.
Amen.
They would understand it as God simply having allowed that. Now, in the New Testament, it's fully explained that Satan is the one behind the sickness.
Amen.
In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says that God was with Jesus. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he healed all those who were oppressed of the devil. Praise God.
Amen.
So God is not the one, his reputation is not one of sickness. It is one of health and healing. Hallelujah. He doesn't connect his name to sickness. He connects his name to healing. His reputation is to healing. His reputation is Jehovah Shalom or Yahweh Shalom. He is the Lord your peace. Hallelujah.
Amen.
His name is Yahweh Rapha, the Lord your shepherd, praise God. His name is Yahweh Yireh or Jehovah Jireh. He is your provider, hallelujah. See, if you understand God's reputation, you understand God's name, then your faith gets built up and you will not accept those things that come your way that contradict God's reputation, praise God.
Amen.
Instead of sitting there in a fatalistic manner saying, well, like Pastor Coleman said earlier, whatever will be, you will stand against it in the name of Jesus. As Lady Cleon told us earlier, you take the name of Jesus and you stand against that thing, glory to God. She had us say the name of Jesus 5 times. Amen. And the devil, he is afraid of that name because that's the name that defeated him. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you won't stand. See, when you understand the truth about God, you won't stand the things that contradict God's reputation. Praise God.
Amen.
Let's look at two scriptures and I'm going to let you go. look at Philippians chapter 4. I know y'all familiar with this scripture. While it's easy to preach at churches like yours, it's also sometimes difficult because y'all pastor teach y'all so much. It's like, I don't know. I'm probably not giving any real new insight. Just probably reinforcing what he's already been teaching you. Amen. Praise God. But I thank God for the opportunity. Philippians chapter 4. See, I love churches like this, man. Y'all, the way y'all just hungry for the word of God here. All right. Beginning at verse 18, it says, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice well-pleasing to God." Now listen to this, "but my God shall," say shall. You need to underline that in your Bible, the word shall. "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Now let me explain something to you. That word shall, I'm going to read it to you from the Random House Unabridged Dictionary. It defines the word shall as will have to, is determined to, or definitely will. Mm-hmm. Something that is inevitable or must, he must do it, praise God. In order for God to maintain his reputation, once he promises something, he must do it. It has to happen. It is inevitable, praise God. Amen. See, if you stop looking at what some of these preachers say, and start looking to the word of God and the promises of God, then you will not be deceived by the devil anymore. Hallelujah. Amen. You won't sit there and say, well, God's frustrating all my plans. God is keeping me from getting blessed. Why would a loving God do that to you? Well, Pastor Troy, he's mysterious. He has divine purposes that we just don't know about. Baloney! Why would God contradict his word? He places his word above his very reputation.
Yes, Lord.
So if God says that he's going to supply all your needs, he said, "My God shall supply all your needs." That means God is obligated. Glory to God.
Amen.
He is under covenant. And if he breaks the contract, then you can rightly go before God and say, "God, I can't trust you, because you ain't doing what you said."
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
From experience, I'm going to tell you the times I've gone to God and said things like that, I found out it was me. It wasn't God.
Mm-hmm.
Either some area that I'm negligent in, or I'm just simply not standing against the wiles of the devil. I forget that Satan is the one blocking the way and keeping things from me, and then he's lying to me, telling me that God is the one withholding from me. God shall supply all your needs. Say, God shall.
God shall.
He has to.
He has.
He must.
He must.
He's obligated.
He's obligated.
Oh, yes, he is. Praise God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 30, he says, "And if God so clothed the wild..." Here, I'm reading this from the Weymouth New Testament translation. Now, listen carefully. He says, "If God so clothed the wild herbage, which today flourishes and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, is it not much more certain that he will clothe you, you men of little faith?" Praise God.
Amen.
I like that. Is it not much more certain that he will clothe you? You, baby, you ain't got to worry about God not taking care of you. He will take care of you, mama. Praise God. There was a song I used to listen to when I was a kid. "Don't worry about me, ma, I'll be all right." See, you're going to be all right with God. Because God, he's not going to ruin his own reputation. His reputation may be lied on by the devil.
Right.
It may be lied on by other preachers.
Yeah.
But God himself, he is going to maintain his reputation. Praise God.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
So, listen, in closing, God wants to bless you.
Yes.
If God has promised to heal your body,
yes,
he will do it. Hallelujah.
Yes.
He's made many promises in the Bible,
yes,
to heal you. He's made many promises in the Bible to supply all your needs. He's made many promises in the Bible to help you succeed in everything that you do that he's called you to do. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, he hasn't called you to do it. He's not obligated. Amen. He's obligated. He's obligated to take care of those who are obedient to him.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
When I was in the military and I was in charge of a unit, those people that worked under me, I was obligated to take care of them. Praise God. I was obligated to stand up for them. And when I had to report concerning anything that was wrong in the unit, I didn't go before the commander and say, well, that's so-and-so's fault.
Mm-hmm.
I took full responsibility. Now, I might go back and chew so-and-so out later, but when I stood before the commander, he didn't want to hear so-and-so did it. You in charge of that unit. I have to stand there and take it from him. Praise God. And then I just go down and deal with the other person. But I was obligated to take care of those who worked for me. Praise God. When I directed somebody to do something, I was obligated to make sure that they had the resources by which to do it. Amen.
Amen.
My children were I was obligated. Once I had children, I was obligated to take care of them. Praise God. Amen. It was no. Well, you know, I didn't ask you to come into the world. You know how kids always. I didn't have to come into the world. You know, I had to tell my son, it's too late, you're here. Deal with it. Trying to make you, hey, just trying to make you feel guilty. You here, it's too late. Want me to build a time machine and go back?
No.
I don't even know what moment you were conceived anyway. Which one am I going to stop? Praise God. So but the thing is that with God, he's obligated to take care of his children. Praise God. He's obligated to take care of you, and he does not want the reputation of being a negligent father. Amen. He doesn't want that reputation. You know, there's fathers who go to jail because they don't pay child support, they don't take care of the children, and society looks down on them. They have a bad reputation. God doesn't want that reputation. Amen.
Amen.
So God will take care of his children. God bless you.
Amen.